T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Dan Devine. Dan Devine, of course, writes about the NBA for Yahoo. You can read his stuff over there. I've tweeted out the piece that he wrote about Sacramento Kings being back in the playoffs after 16 years on Twitter, at YourManDevine. And, of course, catch the new podcast, No Cap Room. Catch the new podcast, No Cap Room. Dan joins me. Now, I gather, Dan, that this story of the Sacramento Kings back in the playoffs after 16 years in the wilderness gladdens your heart. Is this true?
It does. I think there's a couple of reasons for it. I think one is just you lose track a little bit of a time period as long as 16 years. So the last game the Kings played in the playoffs was May 5th. 2006, I believe, either May 5th or May 4th. And so I looked back at what I was doing at that point. I mean, and there's going to be a million things like this.
Right.
The iPhone wasn't invented yet. This was the number one song in America, that
right.
kind of stuff. I had just published the first thing I'd ever published professionally anywhere at the community newspaper that was my first job. I was 23 years old. I didn't even know that basketball blogs were a thing. I don't even know if they really
might not have been a thing. Yeah.
At that point. And so the idea that lifetimes literally have passed between those two points kind of it leads you to think. And it also just, you think about the number of people who have just sort of wondered if this would happen. And obviously, there are many fan bases that have, you know, where it's been, they've never seen a championship, or there's been a long extended period of time between championships or things like that. But just the idea of even being able to be there, and the exaltation that must feel like, I mean, I don't know, that kind of strikes me as the reason we all got into doing stuff like this, or the reason that we started paying attention to and enjoying this, the kind of emotional connection you can feel and the release you can feel to stuff like that, even if you didn't have words for it. So the idea that there's a whole lot of people in Northern California and elsewhere spread out from there that are getting something they haven't gotten in a very long time today kind of strikes me. It hits the right note for me.
What was your first piece in the community newspaper about?
I worked at a paper called The Bay State Banner in Boston, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
It is Boston's longest-running African-American weekly. I got hired there to answer the phones. I am not African-American, but in answering the phones and doing subscription stuff, I found out that an analogous newspaper, a sister paper in New Orleans. I was like, we can't get through to them. Like, we keep getting, our mail keeps bouncing back. And I found out it's because they got washed out from Katrina, and that I finally reached someone with the paper, and they had been continuing to publish the paper from Houston for months and months. And so it was a story about how that newspaper, the oldest African-American newspaper in Louisiana, had continued to publish. And I was like, it all came out of it. Your news is what your editor says it is. Sometimes
right.
news is who picks up the phone when you call to ask about a subscription invoice. And it turned, in, it turned into
it. Do you still have it? Do you have a printed out copy of it? Do you cut it out with scissors like one used to in the day?
I do. Yeah, it's up in the closet. I didn't save all of the things from that, but I saved that. And so that was kind of neat to go back and revisit that.
My first piece that was published outside of a college newspaper was for a professional, got my first paycheck. Ernie DiGregorio, I'm from Buffalo, and Ernie DiGregorio was making a comeback with the Celtics, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Providence legend, by the way. Providence
legend. and a Buffalo, former Buffalo Brave. And so I contacted the now defunct Courier Express, which was the morning paper at the time, and said, hey, if I go over to Celtics camp and write about Ernie D, would you take it? And they said, yes, we would. And that was my that was my first one. As you know, all the greats were there. Bob Ryan, like everybody. It's just it was when you're just starting out, everything you're wide eyed about everything. So anyway, well, that's fun.
Sorry, one quick line before you move off of it. The lesson in all of this, and obviously the industry is dramatically different and it changes every 5 minutes. But chances are, if you call an editor and say, "I got something I would give to you." I'm going to go do it, and you don't got to do anything until I give it to you. Would you take it?
Right. They'll say,
an
hey,
awful
right.
lot of time. You'd be surprised how often the answer to that is yes.
And back to the Kings, they nearly left Sacramento in the midst of this, too. That's the other thing. I mean, there's been – I enjoyed some of the – in your piece, I forgot Tyreek was Rookie of the Year there.
Yeah.
And there's the Marcus Cousins stuff. And, of course, it really all – I don't know if it started, but Rick Adelman's the parting ways with him. When you look back at the history, what strikes you?
Well, I think it's just that there's – you can make so many wrong turns in search of, you know, whatever the quick fix is or the right answer is or whatever. And sometimes it's just flat-out luck, right? There were a lot of people who – I mean, because of who Tyreek Evans was at Memphis and then the prospect that he was – and, you know, all throughout that rookie year, like, there was no reason to necessarily feel like you missed the boat on something. He went one pick ahead of Steph Curry, right? Like, and they were all done. They were a handful of players. But, you know, that was not unique to them, but it's the way it goes. And, you know, there are, you know, more obviously later years, like more recently, it's Marvin Bagley over Luka and Jaren and you know, et cetera, and Trae Young. But there are a few things like that where it's like sometimes you just – either the evaluation wasn't where it needed to be, or you just got the short end of the stick at the same time a lot of people did. But there's also the aspect of when you find the right people, giving them some rope and some leeway, which is really, I mean, I think it's 11 head coaches since Rick Adelman, including, I mean, Michael Malone was there. Michael Malone was right. Winning with that team. DeMarcus Cousins was finally moving. Things were moving in the right direction there. Cousins got sick. I think it was viral meningitis. And they started losing, and they fired Malone in the middle of that losing streak. And it was like, well, wait a second. Dave Yeager is a coach that obviously has had his run-ins with management in different iterations. It's no news in Memphis, but he was there, had them moving in a direction, and then they didn't sort of stick with it. The idea that now you've got Mike Brown there as to sort of resuscitate, and not even to resuscitate a culture, but like kind of craft something new. And they gave that the right, you know, they're giving that some time. They trusted in their evaluation of De'Aaron Fox enough to say, we think we can move Halliburton and we can rebalance the roster. They trusted in their evaluation of Keegan Murray over Jaden Ivey coming out in the draft. You know, they trusted in their evaluation that Kevin Huerter would be worth a first round pick. And sort of all of these things in the individually, you're like, I don't know if that really makes a whole new picture, but it's a lot like sort of a triumph of let's see what we can do as opposed to worrying about what we can't, or let's like focus on what the accumulation of this talent that plays together this way might look like rather than necessarily where its shortcomings would be. I thought I was like a cockeyed optimist in the offseason by saying, I don't know, that's maybe like a top seven offense if everything goes well. And, you know, if they're a top seven offense and like a 25th ranked defense, maybe that's like a 500 team. And as it turns out, they're the best offense and still the 25th ranked defense. But they kind of figured out, like, if we do this thing that we do excellently, that can be really powerful, and it can overcome some of those shortcomings. Whether that will continue to be the case, we'll see. But I don't know. I'm a fan of organizations that sort of say, we think we can do this better than everybody else, and then doubling down on it. And, you know, it doesn't always work, but sometimes styles make fights, and sometimes you win a lot of them.
So having said all that, it feels like teams in the cluster of the, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, particularly 5, 6, 7 grouping, want to finish sixth and play the Kings. Like,
sure.
It feels, you know, the Clippers last night are in fifth, and they sat, You know, Paul George is obviously out, but then they sat Kawhi for no particular reason, maybe because they'd be just as happy to drop from fifth, where they would get Phoenix in the first round, to sixth, where they would get Sacramento in the first round. Do you think it's appropriate? Do you think teams should be targeting Sacramento with glee? The idea that that would be the team that, or at least that we would, it's easy to say you'd prefer it over KD. Should teams want to play Sacramento in the playoffs?
I mean, in the absence of like a particularly soft mark, yeah, you understand why. You know, it's you, there's not. If you deal with Denver, you got to deal with Jokic. If you deal with Phoenix, you got to deal with KD and Booker. If you deal with with Memphis, you got to deal with Ja and Jaren. Like, yeah, I understand the thought process, and also like all of those, even you know, like people are unsure about the Nuggets, but the Nuggets have made a conference finals. You know, right. Those players have won playoff series before, and nobody, with the exception of Harrison Barnes, and I guess Matthew Dellavedova technically, although he does not factor into the plans in Sacramento very much. Sabonis has made the playoffs, but I don't believe has won a series, though those Indiana teams didn't. There's just not a whole lot of proof of concept on the biggest stage for that team. So yeah, it makes a ton of sense. You say if you got a team with a shaky defense that hasn't done it in the playoffs, we'd rather have them than deal with Kevin Durant, right? Or deal with you know, insert superstar who with the resume there. And I understand the thought process. I think that offense is going to travel. I believe in De'Aaron Fox in crunch time. I'm interested to see what will happen in if a team's able to put more size on him consistently. We saw the other night Minnesota put Jaden McDaniels on him, and the length of that seemed to bother him a little bit. And the when they were able to get physical with Sacramento, that can take them out of their pace, which is a sort of a big deal for them. But it's not smoke and mirrors. It's not like it's unreasonably great three-point shooting. The guys that they have all can shoot it. It's Kevin Herter's for real. Harrison Barnes is for real. We'll see if Keegan Murray's still an accurate shooter in the playoffs. But they built something that works. And I think expecting that it won't in the playoffs just because they're young and inexperienced, I know we've seen young and inexperienced teams win playoff series too. You know, Memphis has been there certainly. And whether it means you can win two or three series, that remains to be seen. But I wouldn't say the Kings are just going to fold up in the first round because they're young. They've come too far for that.
Talking to Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports on Twitter at Your Man Devine. Make sure you listen to the new podcast. It's No Cap Room is the name of the new podcast. Two more questions, Dan. One is, if you were the Grizzlies, purely from a most likely to win scenario, nothing else, just would you rather play Golden State, the Lakers, or Minnesota? Rank those for me. If you're the Grizzlies and you have your choice, first round, Golden State, the Lakers, or Minnesota.
I think I take Minnesota first because I don't. You know what? No. It sounds heretical, but I think I'd take the Lakers first because we've seen the Lakers as much as LeBron is the absolute opposite end of the spectrum in that has done it in the playoffs. Like, we've also seen that, you know, an injured version of that team where the bench was kind of shaky fall apart in the first round against Phoenix a couple of years ago, and LeBron coming back this quickly before the playoffs. It wouldn't shock me if something similar were to happen there. I'd like my chances, I think, if I have my full complement of guys. Minnesota is just a tough matchup for them. We saw that last year. It's not exactly the same Minnesota team, but the way that they've been able to reorient that sort of identity around Anthony Edwards with the defense they've got, and then bring Towns back. Towns looked pretty good since he came back. That matchup is kind of tricky, especially, you know, the secret sauce of Memphis winning in that matchup last year was that, you know, hammering the offensive glass, and now you've got no Steven Adams and no Brandon Clark. So I think that's a little bit worrisome for me. And then the Warriors, stay away at all costs. I don't want to see full-strength Steph Curry and the gang if I don't have to. I think that matchup is just – it's poisonous for just about everybody else in the West, which is, I think, why everybody else is hoping they don't make it out of the play-in.
All right, and then last question. Do you vote all NBA?
I think so. So I have the last couple of years. they sent out the email to ask, you know, the league office, you know, would you like to participate? I responded yes. I might have responded after the deadline, so I am not positive if I am going to get one this year. I have in the past, and then TBD this year.
I will not commit you to this, but Ja has $40 million on it. What is your current thinking as you think about the guard spots in your All-West consideration? NBA consideration. Yeah.
I will be honest with you. I have put off focusing on all year end things as much as possible because it's just a conversation that is destined to get you like a haymaker in the jaw.
That's
with
true.
No positive vibe associated with it, no matter who you're talking to and where you're talking to them.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the following are Do you think that a Luka, Donovan Mitchell, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and Steph are all locks?
My first blush reaction to that is that Shea and Donovan are because of what both the production and team overall team quality. Maybe Shea doesn't necessarily get that same team quality benefit of the doubt in comparison to the other two teams, but more available, I think, and more consistently excellent than Steph all over the course of the full season. And then Luka, I don't know. My first blush thought is yes, Shea, and yes, Donovan, and then Luka and Steph kind of TBD.
It is going to – I will draw you back into this at some point, and I understand why you're reluctant, but it is a total disaster. Like, it is a mess.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get clobbered. Like, what do you do with Jalen Brunson? It's such a great story, but I don't think on the merits he necessarily qualifies over Ja. But, like, it's – whatever. What do you do with Drew Holiday? Like,
Drew Holiday, it's what makes this time of year so hilarious too. Outside the context of wanting to, go into a hole and never come out with an actual vote that has your name attached to it that everyone can see, is that the thing with Drew Holiday is like it's like yeah, but I mean like he's an incredible two-way player and the defense is elite. Okay, everybody knows that, but it's also like yeah, it's like 19 points a game or whatever, and then he goes out last night and scores 51, and you're like. So he can totally do that when they need him to. Man. And then also it's like, yeah, so all of that to say. And then there's going to be people like Jaylen Brown. Is he a guard? Is he a forward? What is, where do you put him? All of those sorts of positional fraud things and the variant of categorization. There's a million ways to violate your peace, your internal sense of what is fair and reasonable. And this is one of those things where there's going to be like 12, with guards especially, I haven't done the math on it yet, but I'm guessing we're talking like 10 or 12 guys for six spots. And it's going to be brutal. And everyone's going to be mad at me for something different. The good news is that I've got a couple of years of practice at it now. So we'll find out. We'll find out where we go.
And you may miss the deadline. You may miss the deadline. Yeah.
Yeah. I might have like saved myself inadvertently, but we'll see.
The podcast is No Cap Room. You can read them at Yahoo or on Twitter at Your Man Divine. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go.
Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.